What is inspiration? Okay. What is inspiration? What does it mean to be inspired? I'm not looking for no deep answer. Y'all know how I am. I ain't looking for no, well, the power, the fire of the Lord comes upon me. I ain't looking for none of that. Empowers you to act and take action. Come on.
And something that grabs your attention.
All right. Come on. Come on. What's inspiration? Come on. You know some things that inspire you, right?
You see somebody else doing something, you want to do what they're doing.
You see somebody else doing something, you want to do what they're doing. Inspiration. Inspiration. So I had a discussion with some young people. I like talking the word. And I don't want to be talking the word like, you know, trying to be deep all the time. But just, you know, we end up talking about things about life. And, you know, the word of God is very applicable to life. Like, you can apply it to life. When the Bible talks about the blood of Jesus, not just talking about some fictitious thing that happened so many years ago. It's really talking about blood that's running through your veins, all right? Look up two words, realize and actualize today. And you realize both of them had the same thing. Realize the first definition was to understand something, but then also the next thing was to make it real. That's what I've been saying, my real. Actualize, just go straight to the point. Just make it actual by action. To actualize, like you actually doing something. So the word of God is very real, very actual, very functional in every specific part of your life. There is no part of your life that the word of God does not touch. There's no part of your life that the word of God does not apply to. There's no part of your life that the word of God cannot, you know what I'm saying, the word of God, not just the word of God cannot change. It's very actual and it is a very real thing. So when we start talking about inspiration, something that, see somebody else doing something you want to do, inspiration, something that inspires you, something that, how did you say it again?
Empowers you to act,
all right? And then it's something that catch your attention, right? That's what you say, right? Inspiration. I'm going to blow your mind what inspiration really means. I'm going to blow your mind. We were having a conversation the other day, and they said, what is inspiration? And that's a hard thing, you know? They say something inspires. Like, it's really hard to, sometimes we use words that we don't really know what they really mean, and we don't really know how to say what they mean, so they really mean that we've been saying stuff that other people have been saying. We preach the word like that sometimes. We preach a word that somebody preached to us, but it hadn't taken home with us, and so there's no power when I deliver it. There should be proceeding of the Spirit whenever you minister the word of God. The Spirit of God should be proceeding right behind that word, not right behind it, right on the inside of that word to make an impact on the hearer. That should always happen. So we should never talk without knowing what we're talking about. We should never preach without being preached to first. You get what I'm saying when I say that? We should never minister the word without the word ministering to us first. The word should run its course through you first before you try to run it through anybody else. Right? How you going to lead somebody through the prayer and you ain't never prayed it? How you going to help somebody get saved and you ain't saved? Right? Makes sense, huh? Simple, huh? Simple. I can't show you how to cook if I don't know how to cook. Right? I can't show you how to get there if I ain't never been there. I can only tell you what they told me. I can only tell you what I heard, but not what I know. So it hadn't become real to me. It's not an actual thing to me. It's not a revelation to me. Inspiration. So I told him, and I thought I was being deep when I said this, and it kind of goes along with what I'm going to tell you the definition of inspiration is or where it came from. But I thought I was being deep. You know, they say it's a spark, something that jump you off, something that make you want to go do something, right? But I said, no, I think inspiration is a little deeper. This is me, my deep talk, right? I think that inspiration is a little deeper than just that. I think it's a spark and the enablement to do it. You know, I thought I was saying something like, it's a spark. And it is, but when I read it, it's going to be a whole lot more powerful. But I say, I don't think it's just something that makes you excited about doing something. But I think along with it comes the power to do. And it is the truth. Along inside of it comes the power to do something. But inspiration... when I found out, there's a word called etymology, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y, etymology, E-T-Y-mology, all right? What does that mean? That's a study of words, all right? Now, if you're going to be a word person, you have to be ready to study words, all right? You have to be ready to find out where they come from, what they mean, how were they first used? See, everything that we use right now, well, what does gay mean right now? Well, gay was really happy, though. But when my children come around, the happy gay won't even exist anymore. Because it's going to be another thing. Come on. Amen. All right. Amen. The word currency. What is currency?
Money.
Money, no, currency is not money. Currency is flow. What's the root word of currency? Current. So it's two things, now and flow. Flow now. But now, because it's been used a certain way, currency is only money. Money is a product of the flow. Study of words, right? I mean Google. Like that ain't, I didn't go, what book you studying? I just looked up the word on Google and found out how was currency first used. It wasn't until 1969 they started using it as money, as a flow of money. But the original was just a flow, current. And then current, like now, like current affairs, now flow now. All right, if we knew what currency was, maybe we wouldn't just be using it on that surface definition. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. By thy words are thou justified, thy words are thou condemned. Right? It's been a trick of the enemy that we use words wrong, we interpret this word wrong, and we never dig deep enough to find out what the Spirit of God is saying or what's the original meaning. Because if I'm justified or condemned by my words, and if I'm saying the word with the wrong meaning, then I'm getting condemned and I don't even know it. Is that true?
Yeah.
That can be true, right?
Yeah.
So now my words, it's important for me to study what I'm saying. Come on, students. Are we students, right? We're students of the Word of God, right? We're students of the Word, right? So even when you're using words, you have to study the Word. You can't just be slinging a bunch of words that sound cute because you heard somebody say it when you don't know what you're talking about. Currency, what's currency? Money? No, it's not money. It's a flow. Current. Everybody say current.
Current.
So I like looking up words. I like paying attention. I like finding out, what does this mean? What is this word talking about? What are you really saying? What is the root behind this word? When this word was first used, what was the first mentioning of the word? There's a law when you preach the word, you're talking about the law of the first. How was this first used? The first way it was used was the first way that it was meant. So how was it used? What God said, let there be light, and there was. There's power in words. What if he would have said something else? So you got to know what you're saying. You can't just be saying everything. I read a scripture the other day that said, somebody preached this one time. And I let the people preach it to me, and I ain't going to look at it myself. And I don't study the Bible. I said, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman to be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That means you got to go study for yourself. I don't care who preaching to you. I don't care your pastor, my pastor, me, you. I don't care who preaches. You better go study this word. For instance, I heard a pastor say this years ago. He said, I want to train y'all so much that if I go off, you'll know what's going on. That's a real teacher right there. That's somebody that really wants you to make it. Listen to me. So you got to study this word. The scripture, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a stand against. You know the scripture? I heard somebody preaching one time, and I got excited about it. I guess I just listened to it and didn't study and listen to it and just study until last week I looked at it differently. And I don't visit that scripture a lot, but the person preaching, he said, when the enemy comes in, and then he said, like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against. So do you hear the inflection of my voice? Like it says it different. Like, you know, we usually say when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will stand against him, right? He preached, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Woo, sound like a revelation. And so I let the guy preach to me and didn't go study for myself. Not that I had a text, not that I had to go study for anything. I wasn't looking for no floods or anything, but I just didn't go look for it. The other day I turned to it and look at it again, and it says it just like I learned it, when the enemy comes in like a flood. But because I didn't go study it, I'm sitting there thinking, like a flood, the Lord gonna lift up a standard. No, that ain't what he said. Rightly dividing the word. I'm breaking some things down. It's not about being a theologian or being a scholar, but you gotta study. You cannot do this. Listen, there's deeper things. There's some things the Holy Ghost wants to show you that's just in a word. He showed me something in this word, inspire. He said, well, inspire, aspire, prespire, transpire, conspire, all those things mean. You think it mean one thing, it mean a whole nother thing because of the original meaning of the word. We'll get to John chapter 1. I want to read it. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, not anything was made. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shined upon the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I just want to read. I like read. Name was sent was John. Same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, delighting every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he powers to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of but God. Verse 14, you read. Ready, read. Full of grace and truth. So now we done read the scripture before in this class, right? The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, and the word was God, right? So then it says, then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means God became man and dwelt among us through Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Everybody say it. Thank God for Jesus. So now the word of God actualized and made itself a real, walking, breathing, live organism to live as an example in front of you. You know, without Jesus coming, we would have a bunch of laws that we were trying to follow without an example. We'd be trying to do something that nobody showed us how to do. Thank God for Jesus. Say it.
Thank God.
So the word came and was made flesh. Genesis chapter 2. Yeah, we jump back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, I'm starting on verse 1. I ain't waiting for you. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work was God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, and they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. There was not a man to till the ground. There was not a man to till the ground. Verse 6, but there went up a mist from earth and watered the whole face of the ground. If you know the story, the water started coming up from the bottom. It didn't rain. It didn't rain until Noah, right? Right? You know the story, right? So God started watering from the bottom, all right? So, but there was no man. Still was no man to till the ground. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man. Now watch this. Now, I know what you like what I told you about the italicized words. I'll be trying to read them without taking them out sometimes because I want to see if it really means something absolute. And when I took out of, because of is italicized, the Lord God formed man the dust of the ground. Means a little different, don't it? And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what?
Living soul.
Man became a what?
Living soul.
But before he became a living soul, what had to happen?
Had to be breathed into.
But before he got breathed into, what had to happen? Had to be formed. All right. Let's not forget the fall. All right, we're going to go over the scriptures now. In John 5:39, I don't have to go over that, but it says, search the scriptures. And we like to jump off of anything you have life, but they testify to me, but you're not coming to me, right? We want you to come to me, but it did say search the scriptures. Yes. See, let me tell you something about principles and power. Principles and power. The power comes from the principles. The principles don't come from the body. Watch this. So now, you cannot walk in the power without the principles. You can't bypass the principles. You can't bypass the scripture. You can't jump to Jesus without his word. You can't know him without his word. You can't function in the anointing without the principles, because what you're going to do is be a wildfire. You're going to be a loose wire. You know, even electricity needs wire to conduct and contain and channel the power. If there was no channel of power, everybody getting shocked in this room, because wires would be everywhere. The power is there, but there's no channeling. There's no control. Without a switch, you can't control the power. So don't skip search the scriptures. Don't skip the part by search the scriptures. So there's a form. Right? Because the man got formed first. Formed. Dust of the ground. Then God, after the form. Remember the rich young ruler? Remember the rich young ruler? You know the story, the rich young ruler came and said, Master, how can I get eternal life? What's the first thing he asked him? Y'all remember? Y'all know what he asked him? What he went to sell after. What's the first thing he asked him? No, he went to there after. What's the first thing he asked him? All right, come on, Bible students. Huh? About the commandments. Have you observed the commandments? Come on, people. All right, that's good. That's good. I'm glad. It's good teaching. Because I can't get the word of the Lord without knowing where the word of the Lord come from. See, what happens is we don't recognize his voice because we're not spending time with his language. So we don't recognize him talking because we hadn't spent time with his word, all right? Living by the word. Ain't this book? Ain't it the class? Living by the book, right? So when I spend time, it gives me the form, all right? Now watch this. So when I spend time, he said, have thou observed the commandment? He said, yeah, I've observed all them from my youth. Talking noise. I've been in the church. Jesus said, okay, good. But one, you still lack something.
Yeah.
One thing thou lackest. And there's another scripture. I ain't got time to go over there. But in one thing, Martha was coming by my servant. But Mary chose that good thing. And that one thing is needful. It's a word from the Messiah. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell what you have. Not give all your money away, sell what you have.
Yeah.
You can't sell money. You know that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, he had some money that was still there.
Yeah.
But sell what you have and give it to the poor.
Right.
He went away sad because he had great possessions. And Jesus going to say, how hard is it for a rich man in the kingdom of heaven? Who's willing to give all? Is it harder for a man to enter into a camel to enter the eye needle? Then he said, but with men is impossible. Not with God.
Mm-hmm.
For with God, how many? All things. Apostles. And he goes, tells on the disciples that. The disciples say, well, we gave everything we got. He said, yeah, and you're going to receive now and this time 100-fold.
Yeah.
And on the other side, all right? But there was one that he had to observe. He asked him about the commandment, for he didn't just go straight to Revelation. See, we got to perceive. Everybody say perceive.
Perceive.
Come on, you have to perceive these scriptures. You have to go in these scriptures and understand what's going on. They're no longer your Bible stories. And there's a reason that he did it the way that he did it. Remember the blind man, lay hands on his, spit on him, lay on his eyes. He said, I see, but I see men walking in the trees. Huh? And then the next scripture, I read it the other day, the next scripture said, then Jesus laid his hands on him and made him look up. It's powerful. Made him look up. Laying hands on him and made him look up. And then he saw clear. And I got another revelation about the men walking in the trees. The Bible talking about men being trees somewhere else in the Bible, and I ain't got time to go there. All right, so the form. God formed man from the dust of the ground first. So there was a forming first. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Living soul. Now, we put he breathed and he came the living soul with the same thing with the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the same principle. God was doing the same thing. God is still trying to be flesh in us. But if we don't let him breathe, then we have a form. 2 Timothy, go over there, go over there. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost not a, well, he wrote it, so I get it, Holy Ghost. He wrote it all, so he know. I about to say, boy, the Holy Ghost sure do know how to tie things in. But I guess he would. I suppose he would. I suppose he would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there's a scripture we're going to get to in a minute. For this I know also, the last days of perilous times should come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, read it. Stop. From such turn away. Having a form, but denying the power thereof. It is very possible that I can have the form and no power. It's very possible that I can be made in his image but not function in his power. True or not true, right? That could be me or you at any given moment. The moment that we don't let him breathe is the moment that we have the form but no power. Having a form of godliness, but what's the next word? You know, there's a, when they talk about, you know, the scripture, seeing but they don't see. And hearing, I ain't got time to go to hearing, they don't hear. He said, and they don't understand with their heart. All right, and it goes on to say, Because their heart is waxed gross. And it says their ears are closed. No, it says their ears is a shed. I forgot he said the ears shed, but then he said, and their eyes they have closed. And their eyes they have closed. Ephesians 4, I ain't got time. I was reading in my last class. It's talking about the vanity of your mind. And it starts talking about they're giving themselves over to the lasciviousness and the ignorance of their heart. The ignorance. You know what ignorance is, huh? You know what ignorance is? The root word of ignorance is ignore. Doesn't mean you didn't have a chance to know, but you ignored it. A lot of times with the word of God, I want to teach you something, preachers. A lot of times with the word of God, when you're preaching to people, there's one couple of things they're going to do. They're going to try to fight or they're going to try to ignore. Because when the truth hit, it commands you to do something different. And if you don't want to do nothing different, you got to act like you didn't hear. Ignorant. They close eyes. Having a form. You got a form. Like you got a form. Like I say, I got a form. Like say it. I got a form. Having a form of godliness, but denying, in order for something to be denied, you have to deny. Now denying doesn't necessarily mean like this, but sometimes denying is the lack of. Watch this. Sometimes denying is not just pushing away, but sometimes denying is the lack of doing this. When you don't do this, you're in denial. You know, it says about you're in denial. You're in denial. Like you're really in denial. Yeah, you're in denial. Like when you don't embrace the revelation and don't go for the revelation, you're in denial. Like you really think you're good, but you're in denial. So it's possible to have a form and not the power. But don't. Well, we know it's possible, huh?
Yes, sir.
All of us in this room know it's possible, huh?
Because
we all got the form. Born again, huh?
Yeah.
You got your Bibles with you, don't you?
Yeah.
So we all done had a form moment and no power moment, all of us. Me too. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. We all had a form moment, no power. So we know that it's possible. So now what I'm trying to figure out is how I get from being a dead formed man on the ground, dead, not alive, not is a way that seems right to a man, but then thereof is dead. That don't mean in the box. That just means no life, no fruit. I can be laying on this ground, formed like God, but don't have no life because I haven't been breathed into. So I can't be a living soul. A living soul. I am a spirit. I have a soul when I live in the body. I can't be a living. It's a possibility. Possibly I can be formed and I don't let him breathe. Now, remember what I'm saying. The word is still trying to become flesh and dwell among us through you and through me. Oh, yeah. He's trying to do the same thing. Well, why would he say the works that I do, so you do also in greater works than these? Got to go to my Father. Do what I do. Say what I say. Be like me. Keep my commandments. That's what he's trying to say. I just told you in John that the word was made flesh and dwelt among you. Now I'm trying to show you how the word can be made flesh in you. Through you. In you. Through you. Over you. Out of you. I'm saying those things for a reason because I'm about to read you this. In you. Through you. Over you. Out of you. With you, agreeing with you, together, breathing together. Verse 6, for this is the sword that creep into houses and lead captive as silly women laden in sins, led away with divers lust. Verse 7, ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. Always learning something but never come to the knowledge of the truth. It don't seem like it makes sense, huh? But it's possible. That means I can always be learning something, but never know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So ever learning, but never knowing Jesus. Ooh. You're never getting a revelation of the Christ. Verse 8, now Jonas and Jambres withstood Moses and do all these resist the truth. Men corrupt mind, reprobate concerning faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest. We like that word manifest, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't we like manifest?
Yeah.
Lord, let me manifest, right? Yeah, but you couldn't manifest your folly unto all men. You see that, huh? Oh, something is going to manifest.
Yeah.
Oh, something, yes. Something is going to manifest. You're going to determine what manifestations you get. Now, what manifestations you got now? Is it folly concerning what God says you should have? Most probably.
Yes, sir.
If we be honest. Me too. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, remember, I ain't got time to go there, but in John 10:10, the thief coming out, but is still killing the straw. We thought that was a devil. He's talking about some preachers. You can do your little time to read. Just context. All right, context. I know the devil coming still, too. But at that particular time, Jesus talking about some preachers. They coming in preaching the wrong thing to you. Go read John 10. We ain't got time. You live by the book. But just go read a little bit above verse 10. You got to read the scripture. You take your favorite scripture, you don't know what he's talking about. And the evil men seducers ain't talking about these men. A seducer is somebody that talks to you, but you don't think that they're trying to seduce you. Nobody seduces you and says, okay, here I am. I'm about to seduce you. They always come looking like they're your friend. All right. The seducer always looked like, so it's not, we know you running down the street with a gun, talking about Papa, I'm gonna kill everybody. We already know you trying to kill me. So I know how to get around you, but it's the one that got the gun in the back pocket, reaching his hand out to me. That's a seducer. So now we see when he start talking about evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He's not talking about these people out here that's supposed to be doing that. He's talking about the people that's inside that shouldn't be doing it but are doing it. No, we see it all day long in the church as a whole. They're playing all these kind of games. Y'all know, right? Right? You need discernment for this. But continue down the things which thou have learned and has been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to take that out of italics, all right? Italics word, okay? Can we take it out? So verse 14, continue down the things which thou hast learned and be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned. So knowing of who you learned of. Like knowing who you learned. Talking about Jesus, all right? You ready? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How many of y'all been knowing Scriptures from a child? Praise the Lord. Which are able to make thee wise. What is the next thing? Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So know the Scriptures from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. Ready, read. Oh, there goes that word. What's that word? All right, but read it from the beginning again. Ready, read. Keep going. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in how many good works? How many of them? Perfect has everything to do with purpose. It doesn't mean you're going to be flawless, but that means you'll be full of purpose. You'll fulfill the purpose. All right. All right. You'll fulfill the purpose. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Not just furnished. Thoroughly furnished in all good works. Verse 16. How much scripture? Come on. Verse 16. How much scripture? Come on, say it again. How much scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, we say the scripture written by inspiration of God, written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, written by men, inspired by the Holy Ghost, right? Right? They were written by men, inspired. Inspired. Everybody say inspired. Come on, say inspired by the Holy Ghost. All scripture, not just some of it, but all of it is given by inspiration. So, I mean, if there's no inspiration, then it ain't really given to you. You may have it, but you ain't got it. Come on, flow with me, stick with me. Like you have it, but you don't really get it. Revelation can't be taken. You can't take revelation. It's like you couldn't take the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. The connotation of a gift is giving. I mean, it was given to you. It is the gift of God. You can't take revelation. You gotta receive revelation. Huh? You can't just take it. You gotta receive it. Are y'all with that? That's how revelation comes, all right? But you gotta be open to receive it. All right, all right, all right. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Now remember, we talking about the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. And in the beginning, why we weren't read that? He's formed. And all this form of God is in the same scripture. I didn't even realize that. But he was formed, but he didn't become alive until he was breathed upon. Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Come on, y'all ready? I'm gonna tie this up. I'm gonna give you the definition of inspiration. And we're gonna be done. We're gonna get out of here, all right? But the Word of God became flesh, dwelt among us. He's still trying to do the same thing. All right, we talked about inspiration, all right? But remember, the man was formed, but he didn't become alive until he was breathed upon. Right. Inspiration, and I just, you're going to do some studying for yourself. And etymology, I start looking up words and start reading. And one of the things, inspiration, and they got 1300 talking about when it was first used now. And it says, immediate influence of God. All right. Then it says, it breaks down from the Latin word inspirare. It's I-N-S-P-I-R-A-R-E. Inspirare is a Latin word. Inspire. All right. In means just what it means. In. What does it mean? In. What does in mean? Inside, all right. Out mean out, in mean, ain't no deep. That's in mean, no, in is in, all right. This thing starts saying, inspire, inflame, blow into. This is in, inside. Then it came from the word spirare. So take the N out, S-P-I-R-A-R-E. And it means to breathe. And it says a literal sense is the act of inhaling. Mm-hmm. And so spirare forms the basis. I'm just reading it like it is. I got it in the regular definition. Spirare forms the basis of numerous English words, including aspire. Comes from the word adspirare. And it says to breathe upon. Aspire, to breathe upon. You better put this. Sound like some test stuff. Conspire comes from the word conspirare. It means to breathe together. To agree. And those, when we think about conspiracy, we think what? Negative first, huh? Conspiracy theory and the conspiracy, huh? No. Conspire just means to breathe together. Inspire, now watch this, now I go to the other ones, but inspire means let me go to expire first. Expire means to breathe out. We thought expire means, that's what the number is on your milk when they go bad, huh? No. Just means to breathe out. Expiration. And then inspire means to breathe into. So now all scripture is given by being breathed into of God. How much of it? Oh. Search the scripture and you think you have life, but they testify to me, but you won't come unto me and let me breathe into you. Inspiration, a whole nother ballgame. Breathe into it. Just breathe. No, literally. No, not. It's a cute little thing. No, it literally meant to breathe into. So if you become inspired, you are breathed into. If you become breathed into, then life comes after the breath. So if it doesn't become alive, you weren't really inspired. Literally, to breathe into. All scripture is given by being breathed into. All of it. So I can't take the scripture without the breath. Without the breath, well, take your breath away. You take my breath away. You take my breath away. No, take your breath away. And what happens? What happens if you expire?
You're gone. That's it.
It's over. That's it. You done breathed out, and you don't. If you breathe out, and you don't breathe back in, you've expired. Inspire, to breathe into. Perspire. We thought it was sweating, huh? It says to breathe through. Transpire. To breathe across. Transpire. To breathe across. So now you're talking about breathing across. Breathing through. Breathing into. Breathing out. Breathe together. Breathe upon. That sounds like it covers everywhere. That sounds like it covers everywhere and everything. To breathe in, to breathe out, to breathe over, to breathe through, to breathe next to and agree with, to breathe upon. God is all around, always breathing. See, it is simple. Breathe right quick. Breathe right quick. Breathe. Breathe. Don't try it too hard. Just don't try. Just do your regular breathe. Like breathe in. Do a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Come on, do it. Deep breath. Breathe out. Come on. Come on, do it again. Now breathe out. Now, if you sat there and did this for a minute, now this is just a physical thing, but if you sat there and did that for a minute and just did it and just. And you go all the way in. Most of the time we don't breathe the capacity that we breathe. Oh, praise the Lord. Most of the time we don't use the capacity of our lungs. But what you think is there for? We breathe like this all day. We breathe about 16, 17, 18, 19 times in a minute. When truthfully, you all right if you do four. You won't pass out. I wish we could do the exercise. I ain't got a minute because I got to keep preaching. But you got. You know, if you did that more, you'd be more relaxed. No, seriously. No, this ain't, no. You would be relaxed. I sat there and did it one. And my mind just started opening. And I said, I don't even care about that other stuff no more. Everything was cool. Everything was calm. Everything was collected. We don't breathe to the capacity that we can breathe. Sometimes we don't breathe all the way in, and sometimes we don't breathe all the way out. I mean, you know, you used to, if you do that long enough, you pass out, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, your head, you get light-headed, you pass out, right? No, that's how we breathe sometimes. Sometimes we pass it out all the time. We breathe too fast. Let him breathe into you. Take it all in. You shouldn't breathe out until you take it all in. You can't. Thanks, sir. Thank you, Lord. You can't really breathe out. See, what God is trying to do is breathe into you so you can breathe out into the world and make things like breathe. You put the breathe life when you're ministering to somebody. What do you think you're passing out? The life of God. That's what you're really supposed to be doing. So you're supposed to breathe in to other people's lives and they can become a living soul. So there's a lot of dead souls out there. They walk around breathing, but they're zombies. They're breathing physical breath, but they're zombies because their mind ain't correct. See, God is trying to use us to be like him. Come on, breathe in as far as you can. Come on. I just sit down and watch a little. Breathe out for a second. Breathe out quick. All right, we're going to do it again. Now, when we breathe in this time, I want you to breathe an exercise, right? When you breathe in this time, breathe an exercise, right? Breathe an exercise. Somebody told me, how do you build muscles? By eating right and exercise. Well, how do you build spiritually? Eating right and exercise. All right, so we're going to do this exercise. You ready? Breathe in. And when you breathe in the way in, I want you to hold it for a second. Just don't pass out, but just. I think about it, then let it go. All the way till you ain't got no more. Do it again. Breathe out, go ahead. Now we used to play this game, we get in the pool, we see who can hold their breath the longest, but some people's lungs are stronger than others. Some people have the capacity to receive more than others. Some people can hold it longer than others. Why is that? Because some people are exercising more than others. Why can somebody use somebody like Apostle? Apostle, he ain't got no degree and nothing. He ain't do all that. No, but he's exercised. So his he got them lungs. Oh, yeah. And he letting God breathe in. Come on, God. Come on, God, breathe in. God's always trying to breathe into you. Breathe in so you can breathe him out. Breathe with you. Conspire to breathe with you. To breathe over you. Or to breathe through you. Always trying to do it. But will we let him breathe? Can we let him breathe? Always. Always. Just. And then breathe. And the Holy Spirit showed me something. He said, it's just as simple. Now, how often today did you think about, all right, here we go. How many breaths you took today? Breaths. Like, how many did you take today? Did you count them? You see, we be counting our money. We don't count our breath, huh? That's funny, right? Oh, we got to. Same way. It's just that simple. You don't believe me right now. You don't believe me because you're not conditioned for it, but it's the truth. Just simple. You ain't really got to count nothing. You, how many breaths? How many breaths did you take today? Come on, today, how many you took? You don't even know because you wasn't even paying attention. You was just living. You was just living and breathing and being. Wasn't you? I woke up this morning. All right, I get that first breath. Wake up this morning. Come on, self, breathe. No, you didn't do that. Come on, breathe. No, you didn't do none of that. You just breathe. You're just living. You're just living. You're just living. You're just a living soul. You're just living. Holy Spirit says it's just that easy to manifest. It's just that easy to walk with me and function with me and flow with me. It's a little, your breathing is a little difficult right now because you're not, woo! You ready, Doug? Are you ready, Doug? Listen, Doug's an athlete. Listen to me. What do you do when you're getting ready to play ball? Like when you're training, what do they call that? Come on. Exercise preparing, but there's another word. Let's throw it a C.
Conditioning.
Uh-huh. And what happens if you don't condition?
You're going to fail the test.
You're going to fail the test. You won't be able to breathe. Yeah, come on, let's go run a mile right quick. Come on. Bring your shoes to the next class. And we're going to check out this conditioning, right? Me and you going to pass out. And if I do make it, cross the line, I'm going to pass out shortly after. Because I'm not conditioned. So when I'm not conditioned, I can't breathe. I can't catch my breath. I had a friend just now running from the front. She had to run from the front to grab something before her mom and them left and ran to the back and came back inside and was like, oh, Lord. I'm like, man, are we going to have to like get somebody? She's trying to get her breath. She's not conditioned to run. This is a short run, but you wasn't conditioned.
Yeah, that's right.
So because you wasn't conditioned, you can't breathe right. And so run this race with patience, right. But you can't run it if you ain't conditioned. Conditioning. Everybody say conditioning.
Conditioning.
I'm going to say it again, conditioning.
Conditioning.
See, this word is built for conditioning. It's supposed to condition you to who you are. You remember we played that game, huh? Remember we played that old school, new school game? World shaking. Remember we played that game? Yeah, I was breathing. I probably was covering it up real good. I was... Come on, y'all go ahead. I'm snowbirding, they call it snowbirding when y'all play defense. I'm running back down the court, then I get a little burst of energy, do a layup like I'm all fast and all that stuff, but I'm out of shape. I wasn't in shape, I wasn't conditioned for the game, I didn't do anything to prepare, so when it came down to breathing, I could not. Like something as simple as breathing in, I couldn't do it. Couldn't catch my, because I wasn't conditioned. So, what's the Lord told me this? No. The Lord told me, I know he don't be telling me stuff for myself, just for myself. He ain't no respect no person. So if he told me, he got a right to tell you, but you got to catch it. All right? You got to catch it. Just as simple as you breathing. Right now, you listen to me right now, you breathing. You ain't even thought about the fact that you ain't thought about the fact that I stopped asking you how many breaths you had. You just started breathing. You just breathe. You just do it. Like you just do it. Like it's an involuntary action. You know, the involuntary, there's voluntary and there's involuntary. I lift my hand because I volunteer, but there's an involuntary action where my heart is beating involuntarily. Oh. My heart is beating involuntarily, and my blood is pumping involuntarily. There's nothing that I can do to make it happen. It's just beating involuntarily. My brain is working involuntarily. There's some things, the blood is going through my veins involuntarily. Like it's not asking me to volunteer for it to work. It's just working. Now I can have heart problems if I don't feed, right?
That's right.
Huh? I can even have breathing problems if I don't condition right. But everything remain constant if I feed right and I eat right and I condition right, then my breathing right and my flow will be right. So you're conditioning. This is just simple. Consider the birds and consider the flowers. They don't be sitting up there talking to each other about, I know I got to pay this next month. Nobody's looking. They're not talking about that. They just living. And bearing fruit. Why we don't count our breath, but we count all this money to try to see where it's going to go? Is not your breath more important than that money?
Yes. Yes.
How many times did God not let you breathe? How many times was it that you had to go check your breathing account? You tell me when you did it. You had to get them. I don't know if I'm going to breathe today, y'all. I ain't going to be able to go out today because I can't breathe. You know, I can't go out to dinner because I ain't got... You know what I'm saying? Come on, we know I've been there before. I can't go over there today. I ain't. You know, we say whatever we want to say, to lie about it, whatever, but nah, I don't feel like going. Just simple. What is it? What's your thing? Is it money? What's your thing? Is it health? What is your thing? Is it family? What's your thing? Come on, is it your mind being together? What is your thing? It is just that simple. No. Y'all don't believe me. You don't believe me. You kind of believe me right now because I'm saying it and it's hitting your heart, but it got to go. You got to go further. I need you to go further to being touched. I need you to be changed. Remember Paul said that? A lot of people are touched, and you'll be touched by this message. I understand. This is the type of message that will touch you. This type of, they will touch your mind, make you think about it while you're in the car. But after you, well, we need to pray in tongues right after then, right? To make sure we solidify and we keep it on the inside, right? But then, no. How do I go from being touched to changed? Right? Well, how I go from touching the treadmill to being changed by the treadmill? How I go from touching the weights... You know, I used to go, you're ready to work out, so I go, you do little stuff. Sometimes if you read the word, you don't search the word, and you don't go any further and ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on the word, you okay with what you did, and your mind, it's funny, boy, your mind will make you think that you all right. So I used to go, and then when it's time to go work out, I'm starting a new workout thing, new year, you know, brother, the workout thing. So I go and buy a bunch of, you know, barbells and buy me a little bench, you know what I'm saying, and get some gloves and get the jump rope and all that. But if they sit there on that bench right there and I don't ever do nothing with them on a day-by-day basis, then I touch them, but I ain't never changed. If I never use the tools, that I'm giving, if I never use the tools that I'm given to condition, if I just allow it to sit there. Oh, no. Because even further, you know, a lot of the time we're not the ones with dust on our Bibles. But if I pick it up and I just do it without the intent, y'all, it's like lifting weights. You know, you can't put them two tens on there. You know, I'm a big guy. I can't put them two tens on there. Hit them tens and think I'm doing something. No, I gotta get some resistance. Yeah. I gotta do something that's gonna make me sweat a little bit. Gotta make my arms start shaking a little bit. I gotta do that so I'll know that there's something going on. There's some pressure. I gotta apply some pressure with this word. If I don't apply the pressure, there will be no growth. Can I teach you something about God? God is never going, oh, this is another thing. When you're lifting weights, it's called a muscle confusion. So they say when you get on a treadmill, you're on there for about 10 minutes. If you go same speed for about 10 minutes, after about 10 minutes, your body levels off. And after that, you ain't doing nothing else after that 10 minutes. You can stay on for another hour and a half, but you ain't doing nothing else because your body didn't level it off. It didn't figure out what you were doing, and it decided to preserve itself, and it didn't level it off. But you're doing something for that hour and a half. No, you better speed up. They got what you call muscle confusion. So they got now when you do exercise, then you go do another exercise, then you do something different. Then the next day you do something different because it's confused. It's called muscle confusion because it causes your muscles not to be normal and not to be comfortable with what's going on so that they can tear and build and become stronger. God uses muscle confusion too. Do you realize that Jesus did not do the same miracle the same way over and over again? God is not going to do it to you the same way. He's not going to speak to you the same way all the time. All you got to be doing is looking for him. Look for him. And when you look for him, he can build you. If we ain't looking, we ain't going to see. Are y'all understanding me? So we got some working out to do. We got some conditioning to do. I cannot live my life like everything is okay right now because it's not. I wrote a thing the other day, and I said, you know, I said, I wrote down, I take full responsibility for everything that's wrong with my life. I take full responsibility for everything, responsibility, the ability to respond. So I take full ability to respond to everything that's wrong in my life. It ain't nobody else's fault. And so I ain't going to let the enemy beat me down about it, but I'm just going to take responsibility for it. And I'm going to begin to condition when? Tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Now. Right now. Y'all don't even know what God got for y'all yet, boy. Y'all ain't even seen it. Y'all ain't even seen the eyes have not seen. That's what he was talking about. You don't even know exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask today according to the power that works where? It's in you. It's right there in you. Thanks, Holy Ghost. Listen, y'all don't even understand. I ain't got time to preach on this no more. I got 2 minutes, a minute, I don't know, but it's over. It's over. Listen to me. You don't understand. You don't know. You don't even know. Think of that biggest thought you had. You thought you had some big, you don't even understand. Lost my Bible. Listen. Just condition. 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 And when you get tired, get up and run some more. Huh? And when you're about to pass out, pass out. Lay there for a little while. Let them work on you. Do something to you. And then get up and start running again. Amen. Y'all pray in the spirit a little bit. You ain't got to stay in the room and do no corporate prayer. You know what I'm saying? But just, because I'm about to, because I heard something too. My shanda the bullshit.